Your shot at $1,000. Now, text the keyword LUCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LUCK to 200-200.
710 WOR.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
All right, here we go. It's 6:05. It's a Wednesday already. How's everyone doing? I think the rain stopped. It was raining on us when we were driving in this morning, but
it's going to be a nice day.
It's going to be gorgeous, and it's going to stay gorgeous right through Saturday, apparently. So
lovely.
Summer is here. So how's everyone doing? Good, Riedel?
High of 81 degrees today. It'll be, I'm having my bike all fixed and tooled up, ready for the summer. So I'll be zipping around the streets of New York on my bicycle.
Without a helmet.
You scolded me about it, I have decided
You've
I will.
You shamed him into it.
I'm going to get a helmet. Yeah, I never ride my bike with a helmet.
Kidding me?
No, oh, I never have.
Joey B, how you doing?
Good. I would never ride without a helmet.
No, I would not. Well, I wouldn't ride. Not in New York traffic anyway.
Ah, you wimps.
I am. I admit it.
I admit it.
Lot to talk about today. Our big three. The president's coming to Bethpage this afternoon. He's going to talk about MS-13. Long Island Congressman Peter King is going to join him there, and Peter King will join us at 7:05 this morning, so in about an hour, we'll find out what's going on. Also in the Big Three, as Joe mentioned in the news, the 77-year-old bus driver, Huddy Muldrow, that fatal school bus crash had his license suspended 14 times. Apparently, at least half of them for parking violations.
Yes.
So I think out of the 14, there might have been one moving violation, according to the Times story I read. And rounding out the Big Three, is New York City going to ban plastic drinking straws? I mean, this is amazing.
Front page of the Daily News today.
Plastic drinking straws. What's next? My goodness, they want to get rid of plastic bags and straws, and they want to get rid of plastic bottles in public parks, and I don't know.
You have to go to Starbucks and cup your hands and drink the coffee out of your hands. They want to get rid of everything.
Well, at least you're allowed in Starbucks.
Do you really want to go into a diner and have them give you those dirty, gross-looking plastic cups and sip out of that? I want a straw. I don't want to sip out of these gross, dirty cups.
Well, you can have a straw. It's just going to be paper
straws.
Cannot drink out of a paper straw.
Paper straws taste terrible.
Ugh.
They taste like paper. They make everything you drink on that straw taste like paper.
Hey,
paper straws are disgusting.
They still make the straws with those flavors in them, like chocolate. Do you ever have those?
I like the crinkly part of
the
straw.
They still make those, Natalie, where you could have milk, but you take a chocolate-flavored straw and you drink the chocolate?
I've never bought those.
I'm not sure.
I like that.
The bendy straws.
It's like an accordion.
The accordion.
Yeah, the accordion. I always have fun playing with that.
Well, I'm glad you like
it,
but it's around for 100 years. You just think of how many
are
disposed
of. What do I care about the fish in the sea, for
God's sake. Just think of how many are disposed of every day here in the city.
Oh, yeah.
And they last for 100 years.
My life's been disrupted because there are a lot of straws floating around in the ocean.
They do make reusable plastic straws. I have some of them, and they're fine. They're actually pretty decent.
They also want to do away with those plastic stirrers.
You know, that's another waste.
I want to get rid of those.
Who uses those?
Who uses those?
Well, they have wooden stirrers, right?
Again, I don't like the wooden
stuff. Starbucks has the wooden stirrers.
Wood tastes terrible. I hate the taste of wood. I don't want wood in my coffee. I don't want wood in my orange juice.
You stir. You don't
eat
it?
No, but the wood's taste is there.
It is not. In your coffee?
Yes, you could always taste the wood.
No,
and the paper straws taste like paper, and they ruin the taste of everything else.
Unbelievable. We've got stories in the news like Korea and spying on the president, and you guys are so worked up into a lather over straws.
The great novelist Philip Roth died, and we're talking about paper straws.
I was driving in this morning thinking to myself, because I usually get a large unsweetened iced tea from Dunkin' Donuts just about every day, and I have the big straw because they have small straws and big straws. I have to have the big straw, and I thought to myself, I will be so out of sorts if I don't have this straw.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking on my way in.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Exactly. I don't want my lips touching these glasses in restaurants that someone else's lips have touched. I don't believe that they're that clean. That's why I want a straw. I don't want to pick up germs from someone who's sitting in the booth before me drinking out of that same plastic gross cup that they serve at diners.
Well, you can pick up a pair of Michael's personal tickets, which he hasn't touched, so there's no cooties on them. You can get his personal Mets seats to see the Mets and Orioles on June 5th. That's coming up at 7:30, and we have the turning point of last night's Met loss at 8:30, and they picked up another older player in Jose Bautista. So the Mets are accumulating age, and they hope he has something left. At one time, he was quite a slugger. He did get a double last night. So we'll talk Mets, as we usually do, at 6:40. But, well, I have the president's schedule here. Oh. So we were wondering what this was all about.
When is he coming to your house out there in Sands Point?
He's not visiting. I invited him. I don't understand why he doesn't want to drop by. They offered him a Long Island iced tea with a straw, but he doesn't.
You're going to play golf with him, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. let's see. He's arriving at Kennedy Airport at 1:20. Then he gets on a Then he lands Nassau City Police heliport landing. Then he, I didn't know it was Nassau City. I thought it was Nassau County. What are they writing here? Must be Nassau County. This is Washington, right? In Nassau City? Nassau County Police heliport landing zone in Bethpage at 1:40. Then he goes to the Morelli Homeland Security Center. So at 2 o'clock, he's participating in a roundtable on immigration. Of course, MS-13 is the key.
How much do you want to bet he uses the word animal?
Right away.
You know he's going to be using the word animal.
Lots of times. Well, we shall discuss with Peter King around 7:05. And there's lots to discuss with the president because he was railing about the spies going after his campaign.
If they had spies in my campaign, during my campaign for political purposes, that would be unprecedented in the history of our country.
Oh boy! Do you want to tackle this? Because are you gonna do your knee jerk righty thing that you conservatives always do?
No, I don't think much is gonna come of this. I mean, the guy was not really a spy. Trump's people were talking to Russians, but here's what I go back to.
Yes.
All right, if you are in the heat of battle, if you are in the trenches during a campaign, and you get a call from anybody, buddy, whether it be a Russian, Saudi Arabian, whoever, and they say, we've got dirt on your opponent, everybody in politics, Len, will take that call. You don't think the Clintons were fielding all sorts of calls with dirt about Donald Trump? Who came up with a dossier against Trump that was paid for by the Clinton campaign?
Okay, so he's almost as worked up as the plastic straws, though. So this is good. It's good to get your blood pressure up. This is nice.
Yeah, and as Alex Castellanos, the ABC News consultant, we talked yesterday, said, there is no crime in collusion. You can have a conversation with anybody. There's no crime in talking to anybody, even if they're Russian. Where's the crime, Len? Where's the crime?
You don't think it's unseemly that the FBI is infiltrating, you know, not spying, infiltrating, or just keeping tabs on a presidential candidate?
You know what the Democrats will tell you? I'm just telling you. What the Democrats will tell you is the FBI had no problem going public with all the Hillary Clinton email stuff, which probably torpedoed her campaign.
Thank God.
But they did not say anything about this publicly. They were concluding.
Well, there wasn't anything there.
Well, you don't
they know. Hadn't gotten anything. With Hillary Clinton, she had these emails on these servers that were not secure, okay, that were flying all over Anthony Weiner's laptop with all the porn he was looking at.
Time out, girls. You don't think...
Hey!
You don't think...
What?
What? You don't think if they were investigating the Russian connection, which they were during Trump's campaign, what if they announced that publicly?
There wasn't anything to announce.
Of course there was something to announce.
What?
They concluded that the Russians were trying to tamper with our election, and they wanted Trump to be elected. What if they had come out with that fact, which they came out with later after he was elected? I'm just saying. This is another point of view. This is not. Don't do your one-sided, collusion is not a crime speech.
What's the big deal if the Russians wanted Trump to win? They're allowed to want Trump to win.
Okay, fine. Let's just wait till Mueller's investigation is over. I can't wait.
Another 3 years?
Never going to be over.
No, another seven years. How much does Trump have left? 6.5 years? What has he got left?
I agree with Frank Bruni, the New York Times columnist, who thinks this investigation is beginning to help Trump. The more they go after Trump, the more it solidifies his base, and they think they are really out to destroy this man because he should never have been elected president, and the media elite and the establishment and the permanent government that runs this country
really wants
to get rid of this guy.
I fully agree. This really is helping him.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's not helping the Democrats.
He's going to win in a landslide.
It's not going to help the Democrats.
Well, I don't think the Democrats are in good shape right now, so that's a whole other
story. Not with Nancy Pelosi being the face of your party line.
So then after he leaves Long Island, he heads to the Wall Street landing zone, and he's got an event tonight at the Palace Hotel, a roundtable with supporters.
Does it have
then
him
he's heading back to Washington.
Wait a minute. Does the schedule have him going to Trump Tower? I heard he was going...
Schedule does not mention Trump Tower. He says he's departing the Palace Hotel, goes back to the Wall Street landing zone, heads to Washington. So he's not going to Trump Tower.
He's not going to because Melania's there. He's not going to go to Trump Tower if Melania's there.
Melanie.
How many supporters does Trump really have here in New York City, though? It's got to be a small table.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it? That's a fascinating dynamic that he's from New York and, you know,
New York,
he couldn't win New York if his life depended on it. It's just amazing. But I think it'll be interesting to hear some of that roundtable, you know, out on Long Island today, the MS-13.
You don't care. Come on.
It'll of course I care.
What?
Well, I want to know, is this just a for show? Because he has done this before. And Jeff Sessions just showed up. So is this just a kind of a little rally amongst Homeland Security people?
But I think
so
it
what
plays,
is this all about?
It plays into his anti-immigrant, rants.
But we got to say, Peter King has been on top of this MS-13 for a long, long, and warning us about this, and people were not paying attention to it. And it is a problem out there.
Oh, absolutely. So, I am anxious to hear what he says and what the reason for this particular meeting is. So, Peter King with you, with us at 7:05, anxious to hear all about it. But when we return, suck on it. But it can't be plastic, maybe. Stirring up another controversy. And let's put a grand in your hand, a chance at $1,000 coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. But right now, let's see what's going on with the traffic. Now that the rain has stopped, here's Bernie Viter.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, at 6:25, and all right, got to suck this one up, Len.
This seems...
City Council has voted to outlaw...
Well, they're gonna introduce legislation today.
Plastic drinking straws, because they're an environmental hazard. You know,
and coffee stirrers, too, plastic coffee stirrers.
No more plastic bags, no more plastic anything. I mean, I don't really care one way or the other about a straw here and there. The only thing I do think is that when I go to restaurants...
You use a straw?
Well, you know, I always use a straw because I don't think the cups that they give you in restaurants are really that
clean. So you use a straw in a restaurant?
Well, not a fancy restaurant. No, I don't. I'm not going to have an accordion straw at Le Bernardin. No, I'm not going to
have a straw with your Cabernet.
I'm not going to have my Sauvignon Blanc. All right, with a plastic accordion straw. Right. But when I go to a diner or a little place like that, I just think those cups are gross, and I'd rather be drinking out of a straw than putting my lips to those plastic sort of yellow gross cups that they give you in diners. I just don't think they're very hygienic.
Well, listen to this. I didn't realize this. McDonald's shareholders are expected to vote this week on whether or not to phase out plastic straws at McDonald's.
Well, the problem with plastic straws, and this is true, they don't go away.
And they wind up in the ocean.
They wind up in the ocean, and the fish choke on them, and then you wind up eating them when you get fish. So it's definitely an environmental hazard, but I don't know. Governor Cuomo was first opposed to this, but now he's been swinging around towards the ban the plastic straw bit here.
Yeah,
are you all worked up about the straws?
No, it's funny. I'm reading the story that was in the Daily News, Michael, and just what you were saying. They talked to somebody who works at Starbucks, and he was saying that that argument about the cups may be dirty sometimes is not a win. He didn't think it was a winning argument.
Well, I just won with it.
You did.
Yes.
You think you win anything around here? Listen, I love these. Is this really going to happen? Restaurants violating the ban would get warnings at first and then fines between $100 and $400, depending on how many times they've been found in violation. So what, if they give out 10 straws, you're going to fine them $1,000?
Here's what bothers me, though, in the bigger picture. The broader idea here is these environmentalists, usually on the left, these Democrats, they want to regulate.
Here it comes.
And they want to fine. And they use the words like ban and fine. So who are you going to employ to wander the streets going into restaurants to see if you're passing out a plastic straw? The straw police?
All right. Casey in Holbrook. Hey, pal, what do you think?
I think that it's really, you guys just aren't being cool about it. What makes you so much more important than all the animals that all this plastic is killing? You know that people aren't always throwing their straws in the garbage and the stuff doesn't decompose. So why is it much more important?
So you're a real environmentalist.
I wouldn't say I'm an environmentalist. I just think that people need to be educated on why this is happening. And if you're just bashing it down repeatedly, I mean, you guys are radio head figures. I mean, people are going to listen to you.
People are going to listen to us?
You're listening. Really?
People are going to listen to us. I didn't know that.
Why are you listening to us, Casey?
Well, I mean, honestly, I need something to stay awake my drive to work in the morning, and you guys are kind of entertaining.
But wait. You know what? That's going to be the new commercial. You guys are kind of entertaining. I like that, Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, I mean, I also need my mess updates, but, whatever.
She was? Her what?
She wants her Mets updates.
Oh, the Mets update. Oh, we got that at 6:40. Hey, Casey, can I ask how old you are?
23.
Oh, my gosh. The youngest listener we've ever had in the history of the station. Hooray.
Way to go. We love you, Casey.
We do, Casey.
You know, you make it, by the way, she makes a good point.
She does, yeah.
Thanks, Casey. Appreciate it.
And Casey, you're right. We should care about the fish in the sea. And I'm a diver. I love scuba diving.
Like the little fish. So we're being smart alecky, and Casey called us out.
She did.
All right, Casey. Good job. Hey, so what about these subway? Are you kidding me? They're going to spend $37 billion. Where's Joe Bartlett? You're our rock and our news guy here and our redeemer. What, $37 billion over 10 years to fix the signals? Are they kidding me?
Well, it really only cost about $10 billion, but the rest will just go for the graft.
See, I needed an explanation. Thank you.
You know what now? More delays. How about that? We don't have enough delays. We need more delays on the subway.
Here's the other thing. They're fixing the signal system that doesn't need to be fixed for another 40 years, but it doesn't work.
Oh, boy.
This whole subway should have been fixed 40 years ago.
It doesn't work, and it needs...
It wasn't supposed to be fully replaced for 40 years.
Right.
But it has to be replaced.
All right. Hey, Vinny in Massapequa Park, we can give you 15 seconds. Can you do it?
Really quick. I despise liberals, I got to tell you, but you know what? I carry around those little reusable bags in my trunk of my car when I go shopping because I've seen those piles of plastic in the ocean, and it's disgusting, you know, so...
Well, there you go.
Good for you, Vinny.
Thanks, right. Vinny. So there you go. Our listeners say get rid of the plastic.
Get rid of the straws. Right. Okay.
So let's not be smart-ackly about this, Rita. Let's treat this serious.
Well, there are other stories of more pressing concern in the world than the straw thing.
Well,
but
maybe
all
not.
Right. All right.
It's
all
the straw
right.
that stirs the drink. Ask Reggie Jackson.
That's right. Well, that was even I know that Reggie Jackson was the right. straw that stirs
he,
the drink.
That's what he claimed.
Very good. All right. Now, let's go to the straw that stirs this cast.
Absolutely.
Joe Bartlett, our straw.
All right. Paper. Paper straw, paper, not plastic.
Paper tastes terrible.
Get used to it.
Ugh.
President Trump coming to Long Island today for a roundtable discussion on the MS-13 gang. There will be protests, people upset that he called the gang members animals, but Democratic Nassau County Executive Laura Curran is welcoming the visit.
It's the President of the United States. He's coming to Nassau County. Perhaps we can get some resources, some federal help, and I am open to having that bipartisan conversation.
Immigration activists urging lawmakers not to attend the event, but Congressman Peter King is going to be there. He'll join Len and Michael coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, too. The president says next month's planned summit with North Korea may not happen.
There's a chance that it'll work out. There's a chance, it's a very substantial chance that it won't work out. I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I'm sure he doesn't want to waste a lot of time.
Hey, we'll see what happens. It's supposed to happen.
We'll see what
happens. What happened to that Nobel Peace Prize I thought he was going to win?
I think everybody's just playing games with this thing.
It's going to happen.
The Manhattan attorney caught on video in a racist tirade is apologizing. Aaron Schlossberg posted a message on social media saying he's not a racist and he's deeply sorry. He says
End of story.
He moved to New York City because of its diversity.
Sure.
But there are...
Where did he move from? Go back.
I think he was from West Virginia.
I hope he gets hit by a bleeping car.
Stop.
That's what the woman said. That's what she said.
Oh,
remember?
The lady that he argued with, right.
You go out and get hit by a bleeping car.
You're right. She did say that.
Our news is brought to you by Rex Real Estate. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry, 2%. And the U.S. military has a problem. Big one. They're running out of bombs.
What?
Yes.
That's not good.
Running out of parts to make more, too. A Pentagon report says some suppliers have dropped out entirely, leaving no option for replacing important materials used in making bombs. Other suppliers are foreign-owned, which means that, we get into a little tiff with somebody, they could cut off our supply of bomb-making materials.
That doesn't make sense.
All of this comes as the military is using its weapons at a rate not seen since 2013. We are dropping a lot of bombs.
Well, we are in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan places. And, you know, Syria, every once in a while in Syria. You know. Who knows?
Sands Point.
I hope not.
Got a few reserved for Kim Jong-un.
If they're looking for some bombs, Broadway always has a large selection of them.
It does indeed. That I do know. Yes, try Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, the biggest bomb in history.
Oh, there you go.
$100 million down the drain. All right. Hey, they were winning for a while, but the Mets, that winning streak has come to an end, sadly. We're going to get all things Mets when we come back. And Matt Harvey is doing pretty well there in Cincinnati.
He is, yeah.
So, all right, your chance at $1,000 is going to go a long way to be paying for your summer vacation. That's coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Biter.
What's this world coming to? Now you have the first female head of the New York Stock Exchange. You have the first female CIA director. Pretty soon, the executive producer of the show is going to be a female. It's unbelievable. What's going
on? Can you
imagine
that?
Unbelievable.
I like Gina Haspel, though, the new head of the CIA. She's really tough. She can waterboard me anytime.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
So we take requests on the show. We had Casey call us from her car. She's 23 years old, drives to work. She wants her Mets update.
She's
Here
got
you
it.
Go, Casey. They lost.
Sorry, Casey.
Sorry. Tune in tomorrow. Same time, same station. They lost 5-1.
They were doing so well.
It's okay. They had won 4 in a row. Zach Wheeler, well, he had some not a lot of help from his defense. What happened is Jose Reyes is playing third base. And now, I don't know if you read the tabloids or not, but they're questioning what Jose's future is with the Mets because he had a little problem in the field.
Well, here's Smith, probably to bunt. He squares, he bunts, it's in the air, third base side. Reyes fields it on a hop, delays, throws to first. It's dropped by Cabrera, and everybody is safe.
So they were faulting Reyes on the play for being hesitant, and he made two errors. So Zach Wheeler gave up three runs, but only one of them was earned. And afterwards, Mickey Callaway was asked by reporters, the Mets manager, about putting Reyes in the lineup.
You know, I think we have to play the players we have. So, you know, if it makes sense like it did tonight, where we had a left-handed pitcher on the mound, and he's a switch hitter, you know, versus the other guys that can play third that are going to be hitting left-handed, I wouldn't hesitate to do it.
Yeah, well.
Not as quite as upbeat as he was at the start of the season, I gotta say.
Yeah, well, you catch him after a loss, and they lost to a bad Marlins team. But the other pitcher pitched well. You always have to give the other guy credit. But the thing is, Reyes isn't hitting either, and he's not, you know, back in the heyday, he could hit, he could steal bases, he could field, and he's not doing much. Now, everyone likes him. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Jose chant, but I'm not sure what his future is. And then the Mets brought in Jose Bautista. Now, he was a big slugger in baseball, Michael, for Toronto. He had flamed out with Atlanta, not doing very well, but they brought him in. Doesn't cost him much money. He was only batting 143 with the Braves, so they released him. He's a six-time All-Star with Toronto. I mean, he's hit 333 homers, and his first time up as a Met.
The 1-2. Swinging a drive down the left field line. It's hooking towards the corner, but it's a fair ball. Base hit. Bautista on his way to second. Dietrich up with a ball on the warning track. Bautista stands at second with a leadoff double. He's 1-for-1 as a Met.
Well, there you go. That was his only hit. Struck out a couple of times. Did score the only run, but maybe he can add a little pop. The problem is he is 37, and the Mets do have a bunch of older players.
Well, and what Matt Harvey, though, they got rid of Matt Harvey, but he's doing pretty well there in Cincinnati.
Well, he had a good game last night. He picked up his first win. He was pitching at home, and Harvey pitched, let's see, they beat Pittsburgh 7-2. He allowed just one run over six innings. And a guy named Scooter Gennett is an interesting story. He had a grand slam. He's had five grand slam homers in the last 2 years. That's pretty cool.
Not bad.
He's not known as a big slugger. I believe he had four home runs in one game a couple of years ago. Anyway, so Harvey's doing well there. Now, after the game, what happened was Bautista was called up and just arrived in time and never really met anyone. And they threw him right in the lineup into left field. And Mickey Callaway was asked about Bautista joining the team last night.
He landed at 6:15, and I didn't even talk to him until he came off the field from stretching. I said, "You're in left field." And he goes, I got it.
He was there. Okay. Got it.
You didn't even talk to got the it. New guy on the team? No, got like it. A little coaching? Left a little chat about
that? There's no coach. You don't coach veterans. Just get out there and hit the ball. See the ball, hit the ball. Hey, NFL owners were meeting.
Yeah.
And this is never going to fly, but apparently one of the things they kicked around was having officials assess a 15-yard penalty against the team if one of the players kneels during the national
anthem. That's not going to go. Come on.
That's going to set off a palace revolt.
Totally.
Players were not going to put up with that.
That is ridiculous. I agree with you.
Now, do you have any idea who Brandi Chastain is?
Yes, I do. Yeah, she's the soccer girl.
Soccer star. I can't say girl.
Sorry.
But when the women won the World Cup, I believe it was 1999, she's the one who scored the shootout goal against China. And I remember she ripped off her shirt and just showed
she's
her sports
very,
bra.
She's a very comely young woman.
There you go.
Very fetching.
I know. Is that okay, Natalie?
Comely.
Crossed the red line yet, Natalie?
No, comely's a nice word. Comely. Right. Fetching.
It's fine.
She's attractive. Okay, she's an attractive blonde woman.
Okay, well, the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame came up with a plaque for her. And it looks like Quasimodo. It looks nothing like her.
So
did you see this?
The plaque is so bad. It looks like Aunt B in the Andy Griffith Show. It does. That's what it looks like.
I thought it looked like Mickey Rooney.
Don't take, if you haven't seen this,
you got to go to our website.
Do we have a nice picture of Brandy side by side with this? We
must. Yes. Well, yeah, there's absolutely. I don't know how she stood next to it with a smile on her face.
Doesn't she? Doesn't this likeness of her is not a likeness. This unlikeness of her. It looks like Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show. I think.
And where did her hair go? She has this long flowing hair. She has absolutely no hair in this.
Terrible. Really Mickey Rooney.
It looks like a guy. It does look like a guy.
Looks like an old man.
Right.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
But you know what she said? She's 49 now. She says, I didn't feel it was a perfect representation. I'm not an artist. I don't know how hard it is to make these things. By the way, they're going to redo the plaque.
They better.
Thank goodness. Well, you have to go look at it.
Go look at it. 710WR.com/Len and Michael, our website. We have all kinds of great stuff up there, including a bonus segment from yesterday.
Oh, that was fun.
To hear. Hey, if you're interested in bra cup sizes, and who isn't, you want to hear the bonus segment.
You sound like a dirty old man.
Well, look, if the shoe fits. If the bra fits.
I was involved in the conversation, Natalie, to clean it up.
And Natalie nailed it. She nailed it. What we're learning about that school bus driver, and it ain't pretty. Plus, we want to make you $1,000 richer. Your chance coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. How about some traffic news? Here's Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody. Got a jam-packed show today. We've got Congressman Peter King is coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. He invited Trump to Long Island, and the president is making his way to Long Island. So we will check in with Peter King, who will give us the scoop on
MS-13. That'll be about 7:05. We'll talk to the congressman.
And then at 7:30, I'm going to be giving away my personal tickets to see the Mets. So you want to stick around for that. And at 8:30, we will have our turning point.
More tickets.
Competition, more tickets. So plenty of Mets tickets out there.
Yep.
All right. We finally now have the name of the bus driver who was in that terrible, terrible crash in New Jersey that killed the social studies teacher Jennifer Williamson Kennedy and the 10-year-old student Miranda Faith Vargas. The name of the bus driver is Huddy Muldrow Sr. He's 77 years old. And get this, Len, he had his license suspended twice and was cited 8 times for speeding. Here is the question. Why was this man allowed to drive a bus?
Well, one headline I saw had his license suspended 14 times. So
I've got an 8 here, but all right.
Yeah, this is. I saw it. Actually, it was in the Times as well as, NorthJersey.com.
He is in the hospital.
Of those 14 times, about half were for parking issues. But you have him speeding a couple of times, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Why was he driving? Well, let's ask Peter on line one, who is a professional driver from Jersey City. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. The question I have is, who hired the guy, and what issues did they? They stepped over a lot of things. Obviously, who is he connected to? Is it a family thing that he's got somebody in there? Because, the man should not be driving a bus.
Hey, Peter, who do you drive for?
I drive for a private person.
So what, do they do heavy vetting for their drivers?
Not with me, because it's a private thing.
Right.
And I've driven everybody in the world. I used to live in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
I used to drive all the celebrities. I'm an actor.
Oh, give us a big name. Come on, lay a big name on us.
Who did you drive?
Steven Spielberg.
Wow, that's a big name. Yeah. Was he nice? Yeah.
Did he tip you well?
Steven Spielberg is a doll. He's a gentleman. He's generous.
That's great.
And he's just wonderful. He's a lovely, lovely man.
Hey, nice. Peter, anyone you drive who was a real pain in the ass?
Yeah.
I drove. I used to drive Gina Davis's former husband, Rennie Harlan, not very nice at all. I mean,
Wow.
He never got crappy with me, but he was not. It was not a great experience.
Maybe he was jealous of Gina, League of Her Own. I mean, great actress.
Well, he's a director.
He's a director.
Yeah, he's a director.
Wow.
Yeah. But not a nice guy. Interesting. You could write a little tell-all memoir there, Peter.
Good stuff.
Oh, if I could just sit myself down for a few weeks, I could write a lot.
Anybody have sex in the back of your car ever out there in Beverly Hills?
Not with me in the car.
Get out. Driver, get out. We got some business.
Peter's checking out in the rear view mirror.
Appreciate it. Hey, thanks for listening, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a good question. Who hired this guy and why? What kind of vetting did he do for the school bus? Now, his son who goes by the same name,
yep.
Huddy Muldrow Jr., spoke outside of his Paterson, New Jersey home.
He's in pain. He's talking. He said, you know, that he was sorry that, you know, two people lost their lives.
Now listen to this bit, because everyone is assuming that was an illegal U-turn.
Yeah,
listen to what son had to say.
I said, Dad, you know, I'm hearing, you know, stories that you made a legal U-turn. And as far as that, I didn't get no answer.
So when you say you didn't get no answer, he said he did not do that, or he...
Yeah, he told me he didn't do it.
Well, but he was crossing the lanes to go over to the U-turn place that's for authorized vehicles only. So what was he doing crossing all those lanes when the dump truck
supposedly
hit
him? Video of that, too?
I don't know. I don't want to sound ageist here, but he is 77 years old. Do you think the 77-year-old guy should be allowed to drive a school bus?
I don't know what the rules are. Well, don't ask me. Don't look at me. Ask Bartlett. This interview with the Sun was done by Channel 2.
He would definitely, you know, go the extra length to help somebody in need.
Well, he may have done that, but...
two people are dead.
I think he's going to be charged.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Huddy Muldrow Sr., he is in the hospital, injuries to his stomach and his leg and his shoulder. A lot more is going to come out here. And, I mean, what can you get him for? What would it be, manslaughter?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Negligent? Reckless homicide.
Reckless driving, whatnot. Yeah. Anyway, terrible. Let's just remember the two people who were killed. Jennifer Williamson Kennedy, she was the beloved 20-year veteran of the school, and that poor little 10-year-old girl, Miranda Faith Vargas. Very sad. Yeah. All right, the president is headed to Long Island at the invitation of Congressman Peter King, and we will get the inside scoop from the congressman himself. He's a big pal of ours here on the Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning Show. He will be joining us, and your chance at $1,000. $1,000 will go a long way to pay for that summer vacation. That's coming up after the 7 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword bank to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's bank to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Live from New York City, Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. The big three. We are awaiting the arrival of POTUS, President of the United States, to Long Island, where he's going to be talking with Congressman Peter King, who will be our guest very shortly to give us the inside scoop on the problem with that MS-13 gang out there. Also in the big three, we have the name of the bus driver who was involved in that terrible bus crash in New Jersey last week, Huddy Muldrow Sr., 77 years old. License has been suspended in the past and was cited 8 or 10 times, depending on the report you have, for speeding. And he was driving that bus that killed the social studies teacher and the 10-year-old girl. And rounding out the big three, no more plastic straws.
There you go.
City Council is going to vote to ban plastic straws to save the fishies.
They're going to put in a vote today, and they want to also do away with those plastic stirrers. So it's anti-plastic. Where's the plastic industry? Don't they have a lobby or something? deal with that.
I know. I'm drinking my Nestle Pure Life water out of a plastic bottle here. We're all drinking out of plastic.
Yeah.
Plastic all over the place. So those are the big three. I don't know about the straws. I like a straw because when I go to the diner, you get those grungy, gross-looking cups.
Use a paper straw.
Paper straws taste like paper. They ruin the taste of the coffee or the orange juice or whatever you're having.
Poor baby.
Paper straws are tough, you know?
Paper straws have to deal.
I don't like paper straws.
Life's tough.
How do you feel about straws, Len?
I don't care. Well, I don't never use them. So we have another caller. This is based on the driver and the 14 citations. Hey, John in Rockaway, New Jersey, you wanted to weigh in?
Good morning, John.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. You know, I'm a tractor-trailer driver for 44 years. This guy's 77 years old. That means he's been driving for almost 60 years. And the suspensions, all that was parking and stuff like that. He's got 8 speeding tickets in 60 years. To me, I'm going to play devil advocate here. I don't think that's that bad a record.
Well, they say of the 4, now one report I saw of the 14 suspensions, over half or about half were for parking issues. So, maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe if you spread over speeding tickets over 60 years, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
How many citations do you have, John?
I mean, over 44 years. Well, when I was young, I would get a lot of tickets. But, you know, I haven't had speeding tickets or really any violations in 15 years.
Used to be a lead foot when you were younger, huh?
Well, you know, most kids are. Yeah. You know.
All right, John. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to the show.
Do you think, I don't know, Len, do you think 77 years old is too old to be driving a bus full of school kids?
I never want to do a broad brush. It all depends on the individual. I know some very spry 80-year-olds, and I know some 80-year-olds who are not great. So it all depends on the individual. I don't know this guy.
Yeah, he's in the hospital. He has had injuries, too, but this is going to be he's going to be indicted for something or other.
Well, I think he should. Now, we had the son on. Well, listen to this. This is what his son says.
I said, Dad, you know, I'm hearing, you know, stories that you made a legal U-turn. And as far as that, I didn't get no answer.
So when you say you didn't get no answer, he said he did not do that?
Yeah, he told me he didn't do it.
Yeah, and supposedly this video of him cutting across the lanes of traffic to make that illegal U-turn.
You want to put your kids on the bus with that guy, Len?
No.
Well,
if you knew that, would you put your kid?
That he was 77?
70, all of it.
Well, I'd have to see the records of...
I don't want to be accused of being ageist here, but I think a 77-year-old bus driver, that's a bit old to have the lives of 40 kids in your hands driving to school.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's hard to get good bus drivers, but...
Yeah, but, you know...
If you knew that, and, you know, obviously the school or somebody knew the guy's driving record, and they said, yeah, we trust you to carry kids.
Mm. Well... We have Alice Stockton Rossini, who will be heading to Paramus and get some reaction from people near the school on what they found about this bus driver. But and that's an open question. But again, Michael, I think it depends on the individual. I just don't want to say that all 77-year-olds can't be behind the wheel.
A little bit old to be driving a bus, that's what I got to say. You know.
Well, we are waiting a contact with Congressman Peter King from Long Island. We hope to be connecting with him momentarily.
Now, Trump took a lot of flack for using the word animals to describe these MS-13 people. Even you, Len, have got to admit that the mainstream media, the CNN crowd, they took that comment out of context, and they used it to accuse Trump of saying all immigrants are animals, and that was absolutely not what he was doing. He was referring specifically to these gang members.
Well, you'd have to listen to the whole comment, because if you only heard the second half, you would have drawn another conclusion. The issue for me is your accusation as a member of the Creative Conservative group.
The Creative Conservative crowd.
Why is it okay to call someone a conservative, but if you call someone a liberal, that's a dirty word. He's a liberal. But
well, even liberals don't want to call themselves liberals. They've changed it to progressive. Are you a progressive?
I don't know what I am. Nothing. I'm just sitting here taking up space. But you conservatives want to make it seem like the media intentionally got it wrong, and I'm not sure they did.
Well, let's check in with another creative conservative, Congressman Peter King, who joins us. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Len, how you doing? Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Doing great.
So, Peter, we were just kicking around this, the mainstream media attacking Trump for using the word animal to describe immigrants. He was talking about these animals who are part of the MS-13 gang, was he not?
He was clearly talking about MS-13. It's all they were talking about. That was what the previous questions were. And that's what his answer was. It was directed at MS-13. He's never called immigrants animals, but he's used the term animals several times in talking about MS-13 when he was on Long Island last year, speaking in Brentwood. He called them animals, and they are animals. They're worse than animals. These are the worst possible people you can imagine. The things they've done. I met with the families of these kids who've been killed. And by the way, it's primarily young kids who are killed. They cut off their faces. They cut off their fingers. It was horrible. We cut out their hearts.
Why can't we get rid of them, Congressman? Why can't we just wipe them out the way we've wiped out ISIS?
They are the United States. We can't just shoot and kill. You have to find them. You have to arrest them. And then you have to either imprison them if you can find them guilty, or deport them. Now, here's a situation. If a person is in the country, just being a member of a gang, unfortunately, is not enough to arrest somebody. So you can have somebody here illegally, and they belong to a gang, and that's not enough to deport them. Now we can arrest them and begin the process, but it's difficult. Now, I think our laws have to be tougher. I believe that, for instance, if a person is in this country who is an immigrant, or certainly if they're here illegally, and there's evidence they belong to a gang, we should be able to deport them immediately and get them out of the country. Also, we don't get full support from some of the leaders in the community. Like, for instance, today you're going to have people picketing President Trump. Now, fortunately, we will have law enforcement authorities from both Nassau and Suffolk County, both Democratic administrations. They will be there to support or work with the president to get the job done. But it's going to be tough. It's going to take an all-out effort, but a lot of progress has been made in the last year. There's been many arrests. There's been a number of indictments and convictions. And we also have to change the laws, or at least change the regulations. Len and Michael, a few years ago, you had these young kids coming across the border. 95% of them were innocent kids that came across the border unaccompanied. We call them unaccompanied minors. And what the government would do is they would take them, put them into custody, and then place them with a family that volunteered to take care of them. Well, it turned out that a lot of this was actually being organized from El Salvador, and you would have families volunteering to take them. In this case, many of them were Central Islip and Brentwood. They would take the kids in, and these families were either MS-13 families or they were being intimidated by MS-13 because they had relatives back in El Salvador who they threatened to kill. And these kids would go in and infiltrate the schools and recruit. And you had sections of schools where only MS-13 kids were, as it turned out, were allowed to go. They had these almost like no-go zones. And then you had of the last kid, there was, let's say, 11 kids, 11 young people indicted for recent murders. Six of them were these unaccompanied minors. So six kids who came across the border in just the last few years were guilty of these, were charged with these vicious, brutal murders. So we have to have a better system where when a kid is being placed in a home, that the police are notified of that, that the school is notified, so extra attention can be given to make sure that that kid is not involved in criminal activity. Also, they have to do a much better job of vetting the families, finding out who these families are, why they're volunteering to take the kid in. Are they just humanitarian people, or are they affiliated with MS-13?
Congressman, all this makes sense to me. Why do Democrats resist what you're calling for?
Well, part of it is I think that they see anything President Trump does as being bad. Listen, you can disagree with President Trump on a lot of issues, but when he's right, he's right. On this issue, he is really right. And what I find encouraging is that people, even if they're Democrats in Nassau and Suffolk County, people who are closest to it are welcoming the assistance from the president. But there are people who are going to be out there demonstrating today, political candidates, people who have their own political interests against the president, saying that this is all a plot by the president, that he's using MS-13 as an excuse to go after immigrants. Listen, I've spoken with the law enforcement people on the ground who are totally non-political. They fully support what ICE is doing. They carry out these raids, what the Suffolk County police and Nassau County police are doing. This is not some kind of a subterfuge to get at immigrants. It's an attempt to get at the most vicious, vile people that I've ever come across or heard of.
Hey, Congressman, no, we're almost out of time. Before you run, we're on with Congressman Peter King from Long Island. Just tell me your involvement with the president today when he addresses MS-13 at Bethpage.
Yeah, I've been working with the president for the last several weeks in setting up this meeting. I will be flying up with him, along with Congressman Delvin and Congressman Dan Donovan, flying up with the president on Air Force One. We'll be helicoptering to the Morelli Center in Bethpage. I'll be part of the roundtable discussion that goes on. If the president arrives, we have the law enforcement people there, prosecutors there, family members of those who have been killed. And then we'll be going back to Washington. I'll be with the president almost the entire time.
Boom. Hope you pick up some air miles flying around a lot.
Thanks, Congressman.
All right, Congressman Peter King, good friend of this program. We love talking to you. Thanks a lot,
Congressman.
Okay, bye now.
Thank you. All right. Okay, hey.
I'm jealous on Air Force One. That'd be a cool thing.
It would be fun.
He's been on several times. That's cool. Yeah.
I'd love to get on Air Force One, too. Hey, get out of the house, you bum. You're not going to believe this. A 30-year-old who's been squatting with his parents, he's going to be evicted. That's coming up when we get back. Plus, your chance at $1,000. If you're evicted, you might need that $1,000 to pay rent on a new place. That's coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Viter with the traffic.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone. 725. Weather's going to be great this afternoon and for the next several days. We're talking about MS-13 because the president will be with Peter King in Bethpage. Congressman Peter King from Long Island, of course. Talking about MS-13. Joining us on the line, Diego from Long Island. You were a member, were... Past tense, a member of MS-13?
Yeah, I was associated with them. It couldn't be official member because at the time they weren't opening up to books. They changed the way they used to do it as far as if your mother's blood was 100% Salvadorian.
Right.
Originally, if it was your father's blood, was 100% Salvadorian. So when they switched it back by that time, I'd already moved on.
Well, you were associated with them. Did you do bad stuff?
Yeah, well, I'm not looking to incriminate myself, but we're speaking past tense.
Yes.
Yeah, I was involved in their criminal activity, absolutely. I wouldn't be wasting your time with calling in if it wasn't at some higher level. And that's the point I'm calling up about. It's not, it's too late. As for the actions that you guys are talking about, or why can't we just go in and do them up like ISIS? And I'm speaking as I rode both sides of the fence, former military, and I worked alongside them. They're just embedded too deep. This is, you guys are going off of Brentwood and Islip without even realizing that this whole thing started back in Hempstead. That's how far back, 80s, you're talking about. And when they got that embedded to where you're talking about having members in DMV coming up with fake licenses, doing up social security packages, getting people to work at certain places that's beneficial for you to be able to do what you need to do. As far as gang activity goes, they're just too embedded. And nobody cared until it turned up in the backyard of the president, Maryland, Virginia. Until then, who even looked at Long Island? They would get them mixed up. I remember getting picked up by the feds and getting mixed up with Latin Kings.
Wow. So that's hey, how Diego, we're gonna take your number, Diego, because I think I'd like to continue this conversation at some point. We just don't have the time here, but I think this is fascinating. So, yeah. Diego, stay on the line. We thank you for the call. Natalie's going to take your number, and we're going to continue down the road.
Stay out of trouble, Diego.
Wow, unbelievable. All right, the story out of the Syracuse area, it's Camillus. This kid, Michael Rotondo, 30 years old, didn't want to move out of his house, and his parents tried to have him evicted. They sent him a letter.
They said,
hey, Michael, here's $1,100. Go find a place to stay. It suggests he sell his stereo, some tools, and any weapons he may have to gain money and space. The letter says there are jobs available. Go get one.
Even...
And it's signed Christina and Mark Rotondo. It's his parents.
Mom and dad, get out of the house. But they've sued him and they've won. He's being evicted from the house. He wouldn't get out of the house.
He argued before the judge that because he's a family member, he's entitled to 6 months more time. And the Supreme Court Justice Donald Greenwood rejected it, said, get out. But here's the kid, Rotondo.
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food. It's really a moot point. For them to seek me to be ejected.
All right, here's the lawyer for the parents.
There is no reason for these people to have him in their home.
So we're Anthony, who works on our show, is an associate producer, 34 years old, living at home. Have you gotten a letter from your parents yet, Anthony?
No, they're okay with me living at home.
They are?
Really?
I mean, I have been looking for apartments in Jersey City, so.
Have you always lived at home, or did you ever live outside?
No, I always lived at home.
Really? Well, yeah. Don't you want to get out of there?
I mean... I didn't have the money at the time, so now it's kind of... Now I actually have a steady job, so it's time to actually move out now.
How is your relationship
you
with
sure
your...
this job is steady, huh?
we hope.
But we can only hope.
Check the ratings. Is there any tension between you and your parents, though?
No. My mom actually didn't want me to move out.
Really?
She wanted me to move out when I was, like, about to get engaged and, like, married and stuff. And I was just like, Mom, that's not really happening anytime soon, so...
And you didn't get engaged?
No.
So Anthony, at some point down the road, we have to play the dating game with you. We gotta find you a date on the radio. We should do that.
I don't want to be mean, but do you feel sort of a bit like a loser that you're still living at home?
What?
34
no.
years old?
You just called Anthony a loser?
Come on,
Anthony.
Man.
That's not nice.
Holy, not at all. Because that's kind of the way it is now. People are living home longer.
That's true.
You're a winner in our book. And
get the hell out of the house.
Wait, man. You've got regular work, and now we got to find you a girlfriend.
That's right. And an apartment. And an apartment. There you are.
34 years old.
All right. You know what time it is. Give me the crack of the bat.
Absolutely. You want that?
Yes. It's your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Orioles on June 5th at Citi Field. I want you to be caller number 27. If you're caller number 27 at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. If you are 27, you're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets.
All right, 7:30, time for the latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Hello, Len. Is President Trump threatening the FBI? He says, look at how things have turned around on the criminal deep state, saying they made up phony collusion with Russia and end up getting caught in a major spy scandal.
If they had spies in my campaign, during my campaign, for political purposes,
That would be unprecedented in the history of our country.
He is tweeting this morning. He says what goes around comes around, and he's now calling this thing Spygate, saying it could be one of the biggest political scandals in history.
Nothing to see with Mueller. Look over here. We're going to talk spies. Forget that Mueller guy over there. He's not there.
It is a brilliant political move.
It's working.
It's brilliant.
Oh, he's working. He's smart.
Absolutely.
The art of the deal.
Just think of all the things we're not talking about, including the weakening of Dodd-Frank and all that other stuff that went on yesterday. MTA announcing a $37 billion plan to fix the subway system. It will upgrade the signal system, but it's going to take 10 years. And the other part of the deal, work at night and weekends. That means service disruptions.
Delays, pretty much. You know, everything else is okay. Just the delays. In the evenings, it tends to be worse. You know, especially if I have to work late.
It's got to get done. New York City will soon ban plastic straws. City Council introducing the ban today as a way to cut down on plastic waste that ends up in the ocean. In addition to plastic straws, those plastic coffee stirrers would also be banned. Council claims they don't decompose for hundreds of years. Our news is brought to you by NYC Pain MD, leaders in non-surgical orthopedic treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEES. Civil rights groups are calling on Amazon to stop selling its facial recognition technology to the government. The ACLU released a letter from over two dozen civil rights organizations that was sent to Amazon's CEO Jeff Bezos. They claim Amazon technology called Recognition is primed for abuse in the hands of governments. The technology uses artificial intelligence to identify people and objects from images and videos. Civil rights groups say the product poses a threat to people of color and immigrants, and that people should be free to walk down the street without being watched by the government. What they do is they recognize you based on facial recognition. Then they kind of collate you with all the other information they know about you, and boom, now they know what Michael Riedel's doing, what he's thinking about.
I'm good with that. I'm serious.
Really?
If you have nothing to hide and you're walking in a public place.
Big brother looking at you.
If you have
all the
something
time?
To hide, wear a mask over your head.
I'm just a little concerned about this. I like the fact that you can, can pick out bad guys right away.
Yeah.
In fact, they say they use this at the royal wedding so that everybody.
There were a lot of bad guys there. Yeah. Started with the royal family.
a lot of drunk people there, I bet.
All right. Thanks, Joey. Yep. Hey, we've got our winner, so you can clear the phone lines because we need the lines open. So we have a winner to Michael's personal seats. We'll tell you who it is in just a moment. But when we get back, we want to hear from you. Are you trying to get your kid evicted? Would you send him or her a letter?
Do you
Would
want
to sue them?
Do you want Anthony to move in with you?
Yeah, you can have Anthony. Or are you an Anthony? Are you still living at home? Would you like to get a letter from your parents to get out? Hey, give us a call. We want to hear from you. 800-321-0710. So clear the lines. We have our Mets winner. Let's hear from you on this living at home issue. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 at 805 here on 710 WOR right now. Ernie Vider with traffic.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and it's a very happy Wednesday for Jeanette Kraduski, who won my tickets to see the Mets take on the Orioles June 5th at Citi Field. Congratulations, Jeanette from Flanders, New Jersey. Good
and we'll have the Turning Point contest at 8:30 for more Mets tickets. It's also a happy Wednesday for Christina and Mark Rotondo of Camillus, New York, near Syracuse. They got a judge to agree their deadbeat 30-year-old son has to move out of the house.
He's out of there. We want to hear from you. Do you have a kid who's sticking around the house too long, or are you indeed that kid who hasn't moved out like our pal Anthony here? Give us a call at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Is this tough love? Did the parents do the right thing by evicting their son, or are they bad parents? Maybe you shouldn't kick your kid out. Kid's got some problems, clearly, Lenny. Can't hold down a job.
Yeah.
He's got no money, and the parents are going to make him homeless? Is that a good thing? I don't know.
Give us a call. Do you think parents should be able to eject their kids? What do you think? Give us a call. Evict them, not eject them. It's not an ejector seat.
1-800-321-0710. I left the house when I was 18. Went off to college, never went back.
Me too. I went at 17.
You did?
Never to return.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, smart kid. You got admitted early?
We had this thing in the New York public schools at the time called SP, where you did 3 years of junior high in two.
Mm.
So I went, and it wasn't a great thing because I got to college, I'm 17 at Syracuse, and all the 18-year-olds are driving cars, and I couldn't drive a car then.
Would your parents have allowed you to move back into the house after college if you couldn't find a job?
Probably.
They would have.
Yeah. But
were you a mama's boy?
No. No. I just wanted to get out of the house and go to work. I went to broadcasting. We got an email. You can email Michael and me directly at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We just had a fellow on who said his name was Diego, used to be an MS-13 member.
Yeah.
Now he's gone straight, and we told him we want to talk to him at a later time and get some more information from him. So a listener emailed me and said, want to hear a lot more from Diego. When will you be interviewing him? So we asked him to call us at the same time tomorrow, around 7:20, 7:23. Hopefully we'll hear from Diego, and we'll talk about the big meeting on Long Island with the president and Congressman Peter King. They were addressing MS-13, and we'll hear more from Diego, a former MS-13 member, who says the problem is a lot deeper than we think.
He has a lot of insight into MS-13. And Diego, we want you to know we're not going to give you up or anything like that. We're journalists here. We consider you a source, and we do want to talk to you. So give us a call tomorrow. All right, let's go to Terry on line one from Bronxville. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
You got a kid living with you?
Good morning. I am the mother of two grown sons. Totally paid for their education when they graduated college. They came home, and I said to them, you have 1 year to get your act together. And at the 366th day, I changed the locks on the door.
Whoa, did you really? Tough love, Mom.
Whoa.
Wow.
Did it work?
And it most certainly did. They left long before I had to change the locks on the door, because they knew Mom, what she said she meant. And as I said, I paid for their they never had a student loan. But they knew that this is the way it was. You got your education, now do something with it.
Are they gainfully employed now, Terry?
They are both successful with families, and I have lots of grandchildren. So it worked out
well. It worked. All right, Terry. Yep. Good job. All right, thanks for calling. You know,
I changed the locks on the kids. Tough.
I knew some kids I used to work with on a sports production.
Yeah.
When they were originally from Scarsdale, and they moved out to Utah. The family was Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that when they turned 18,
mm-hmm.
Dad shook their hand and said, congratulations, you are now financially independent. That was it. Thanks, Dad. They're on their own. And they made a success of themselves.
Hey, can we take Mary on line three from Orange, Connecticut, very quickly? Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great. Well, it's sad that a boy has to be thrown out of his home because he's not a man. And any of us who were coming up, we couldn't wait to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Our parents didn't make it. They didn't make it that comfortable. They made you feel stupid for being there for too long. So I think the parents, it's too bad that they had to do that. But a lot of people actually move away to get the kid out of the house.
Move away and don't give them your address.
Exactly. They have to sell their own house to leave because the kid won't leave. So.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Mary. That's cold.
All right,
the other Mary. One worked. You know, changing the locks. I said that yesterday. Change the locks.
That's right. Change the locks. Thank you very much, Mary. Hey, when we get back, we're going to talk about the great novelist Philip Roth. Won several Pulitzer Prize. Great man of letters. I love his novels. He died yesterday, 85 years old. I'll have my little tribute to Philip Roth. Len doesn't read, so he has no idea who I'm talking about, but I
read Portnoy's Complaint. Don't start with me.
Goodbye, Columbus, Portnoy's Complaint, yeah. The Human Stain. He was absolutely a sensational writer. So that's coming up when we get back. Plus, you need $1,000? Well, who doesn't? Your next chance is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Hey, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected and listen anywhere with the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite stations, plus unlimited streaming music, all available in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Byron.
Good morning, everyone. It's 7:55. Wow, we lost two great American novelists back-to-back. We'll talk about the late Philip Roth in just a second.
Yep.
We have a real writer who works on this show, Michael Riedel, and he'll have a tribute to Philip Roth.
He was a great writer. So was Tom Wolfe, who died last
back
week.
Back to back.
Yep.
One was 85. Tom Wolfe was 88. Mm. Now Philip Roth at 85.
I met them both.
Really? Okay, yeah, do tell. Just a second.
All right.
When we came on the air earlier, we got a call from a listener, Casey, 23-year-old. She
right.
was driving to work. And she was. We asked her why she listened to the show, and she said she likes to get her Mets updates. But I thought she gave the show, our show, a ringing endorsement. So we've now turned it into a promo. So this is listener Casey, 23 years old.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
Honestly, I need something to stay awake my drive to work in the morning. And you guys are kind of entertaining.
on WOR.
The voice of New York.
You know, when someone says you're kinda entertaining, you can't get a bigger endorsement than that.
You gotta love it. She needs something to say to stay awake.
And we're kind of entertaining.
We love you, Casey. Thank you so much for that ringing endorsement.
Well, it's our new station promo.
We do appreciate it.
You guys are kinda entertaining. No, so you met Philip Roth and Tom Wolf. Really?
I did, yes. Well, I met Tom Wolf at, his book set in Miami. When that came out several years ago now, there was a book party I was invited to, and I was very pleased to meet him because I was a huge fan of Bonfire of the Vanities, and he was exactly as he comes across in the obituaries, very accessible, easygoing, Southern. He was wearing the white suit and the hat, accessible, charming, very genteel, very kind, spent a little time talking to me. Philip Roth, I gotta say, a little prickly. He was a little prickly. He was at a cocktail party for a literary society he was at, and I went up to him and told him how much I admired his work. Loved
he said, get out of here, kid.
Portnoy's complaint. Nah, he was just, it just didn't really engage with me. I don't know. He thought probably, you know, he has a thing about, you probably could tell I'm not Jewish, and he always wrote a lot about anti-Semitic people and all the problems the Jews face, so maybe he thought this blonde guy coming over to me didn't want to shake my hand.
Yeah, but he was accused of not being real supportive of Jewish people, too, so I don't know.
Well, Portnoy's Complaint, I don't know if you read that book.
I did read the book. I don't remember it.
The book was very controversial in its day because there was masturbation on every page.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
The lead character was masturbating into his baseball glove, if you remember.
Well, I don't remember, but I did remember there was a self-pleasuring going on in the book.
Yes,
that's all I remember. I read it 100 years ago.
1969 when it came, in the 60s when it came out. Yeah, very controversial because no one had dealt that explicitly in highbrow literature with sex and masturbation as Philip Roth did. And it was made into a pretty good movie, too. Richard Benjamin, I think, was in it. Karen Black. And there was also his collection of short stories, Goodbye Columbus. That was a movie as well.
I met Karen Black once.
She was
the late Karen Black. She, interesting bird.
Did you get out your baseball mitt?
No, I didn't. But it was a weird story. All right, give it 15 seconds. My friend was a director in Hollywood. He says, let's go meet Karen Black. So we go over to her house. She's sitting on the floor the whole time we're there. We're on the couch. She's sitting on the floor looking up at her coffee table. I have no idea why.
What was she on?
I don't know, or she was under. But anyway, so Goodbye Columbus. Huh?
Hello, goodbye Columbus. I've got a feeling that you're gonna hear from
Well, that was the movie Goodbye Columbus. So yeah. Roth, that he wrote that?
Yes, well, Goodbye Columbus is a collection of short stories. That was one of the first things he published that brought him to prominence. But I want to put in a plug for a book that you really should read. He wrote this toward the end of his life when he was really at the height of his powers, called The Plot Against America. And it posits that Charles Lindbergh won the 1940 presidential election and ushers fascism into America and begins pogroms against the Jews.
I read that book.
And from your point of view, it could be sort of prescient.
No, I don't know. But I read that. And what was the name of it?
The Plot Against America. It was a great book.
It was about Lindbergh. Right. And Lindbergh.
You read it.
Yes, I read that book.
Wow. I'm
fascinating.
Impressed.
Why are you impressed?
I don't know. I just didn't see you as a literary type.
No, I used to read before I had to do this show, and now that's all I do is read stuff on the internet.
Well, a lot of people think he was onto something now that Trump has been elected.
Well,
you going to go that far, Len? Huh?
No.
Going to hit that?
So there you go, Mr. Righty, making stuff up.
I teed it up for you.
I'm taking the
bite. You muffed it.
I'm taking the bite. So Philip Roth, rest in peace, dead at the age of 85.
Terrific.
We're gonna head to Paramus next. Alice Stockton-Rosini gets reaction to the news about the bus driver in that fatal crash, the news which came out today. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 coming up in just a few moments. After the news, it is 8 o'clock.